Thank you, brother. It's a great job, and a great job, a Gray family, bringing something that ties in so beautifully with our scripture today. We're talking about living stones. We're talking about the path of maturity on our sojourn through Lent and 1 Peter. And so the question I'm asking you, or I would like you to think about as we go through this is, what does it mean to be mature? What does it mean? We could answer that a few different ways. Some might be offensive, some might be hilarious, and some might just give us more to think about than we want right now. But let's think about that as we pray. God, thank you for what you design to be together. Lord, your design, your plan is to be with us, to bring us into your presence, and to go out and live in your world. Lord, build us up by the words you speak into our hearts right now. We pray this in your name. Amen. So the word sojourn means a journey through a strange land or a temporary stay or a temporary journey. And at the center of our sojourn series is this promise, okay? Pastor Gabe over at ULC wrote for this explanation. But I thought it was really good, and I wanted to share it with you, that the promise of our ultimate destination shapes the journey. And as he writes to the first century church, Peter continually reminds the early Christians that they are exiles, strangers, and sojourners in this world. He reminds them that the trials and sufferings they undergo are now temporary, and shaping them for a glorious future in the kingdom of God. So, as you sojourn, God has you on a path following him. And part of your sojourn is the path of maturity, of growing up, getting older. And people who know me, when we think about me preaching about maturity, may chuckle because they know sometimes I'm more like I'm 13 than I am 43. Anybody else in that camp? All right. I don't know. Well, why is that? I can think of three reasons. One is to make a joke, to try and ease the tension. All right. When everyone's having fun, I find that I tend to have fun too. Also, God's grace helps me to be the well-adjusted adult that I am, so I can have fun at any age. Three, it's overwhelming sometimes to try and face my past and appreciate my present and hold on to hope for the future. It's overwhelming to do all that. And so when I don't do that and make jokes instead that try to, I do that instead of trying to actually deal with the weight of everything that's facing me right now. Plus, think about when you were 13, and if you were 13 here today, or close to it, and I offend you, I'm already sorry, but think about the bravado you had when you were 13, right? You just did things, and you didn't care what your parents thought. Like, when I was 13, I'm sure there are several things, but the thing that came to mind, thinking about this, is that I attempted to grow my hair long, right? Now, some of you can do it, and it's good. I cannot. You know what I looked like? I looked like a 13-year-old boy trying to grow my hair long, and it was not a good thing, right? On the path to maturity, you need some trail markers. Like, I needed somebody to tell me, don't do that. don't grow out your hair, right? And again, some of you can, and it works. So please do it. But we need some trail markers on this path. The trail markers are also known as cairns, right? Not Karens, but cairns, right? Trail markers, guides, things that let you know you are following the right path. And so from the text today, here's three for you on the path to maturity, right? Face your past, rejoice in the present, and hold on to the hope that holds you. Face your past, rejoice in the present, hold on to the hope that holds you. So when we think about facing your past, we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses, the first three verses from our reading today. You can go back to the reading on here, or you can look it up in a Bible you brought or an app on your phone. But Peter's first three verses here say, so put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So Peter is saying, especially based on everything we read from chapter 1, so in light of all that, put away everything of who you used to be, the person you used to be yesterday. When was the last time you had malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander? Impulses, passions, desires within you to do those things. When was the last? Was that 5 minutes ago? Was it on your way to church this morning? I swear our own sinful nature and our enemy wants nothing more to discourage you from coming here. And so he will do anything he can, anything he can to make you reconsider going to church, like it might not be worth the fight, right? And some Sunday morning, sometimes coming to gatherings, it's a fight. So thank you for fighting that fight and being here this morning. And so in the past, perhaps you were living for the moment instead of living in the moment. You were living for the moment you got to live out these desires, these intentions, these passions that were within you, whether it was malice or slander or envy or hypocrisy or deceit or anything else along those lines. I will let you fill in your blanks of your struggles from when you lived for yourself. You lived for the moment instead of living in the moment. Or maybe it wasn't living for the moment that was the problem. It was wanting that that moment to be so ideal that you couldn't see anything else. And so instead of being in the moment, you were looking for another moment. Instead of this moment you're in, you wanted it to be something else. And so since this moment didn't measure up, everything was ruined. And so you couldn't appreciate what you had in the moment, because you were living or looking for a different moment. And a lot of times when you live for those kinds of moments, you do things you wish you could forget. And facing your past sometimes is just too painful. But you have one who knows all of your past. He knows all of your past. That's what he died for. He knows all of my past, and he died for that. And so the one that meets you here in 2 Peter is the same one that knows your past and invites you in to live in this moment. So when you're faced with a past you wish you could forget, or on this path to maturity, and you, it's sometimes a daily experience where you face your past. Believe. Believe God's story. And acknowledge the sin within you. That's what Peter's calling these believers in these five different churches to do. Acknowledge the sin. Acknowledge malice when you see it in yourself. Acknowledge all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. How can you put that away? How do you turn away from it? Acknowledging it exists. Call it what it is. And put it away. Not like hide it and pretend it doesn't exist, but acknowledge it and acknowledge that's not who God has set you free to be. He set you free for a different life. A new life in him. A new life where you receive pure spiritual milk, both acknowledging sin and believing that God forgives you. How young were you when you first learned that God forgives you? I was baptized at an early age. I really haven't known much different. But I tell you, the older I get, especially in the last 10 to 20 years, there was a fight in me, and one before I even realized it, there was a struggle to believe that God's grace was for me too. God's grace is for you. The same way it's for these five churches in 1 Peter, the same way it's for our kids gathered here today, the same way it's for all the people who ask your forgiveness and people you've forgiven already, maybe even before they ask. That grace is for you too. And that grace that God gives you, God gives you this grace to love and care for his creation, beginning with your own body and soul. These things that God has made and knitted together. And as God teaches you how to forgive yourself and to love and care for this temple, your body and soul, the place where he dwells, he also sets you free then to love and care for others. And so as God addresses your past, he not only opens you up to others, he opens you up to the present and the future, right? And so we can rejoice in the present because God is in the present as much as he handles and faces our past. He handles our present too. God calls you to the present in this moment, to be, to live in this moment. And we go to 2 Peter chapter 2, the next set of verses, 4 through 8 there. So jumping back in there. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. This is saying Jesus is chosen and precious, right? In the sight of all people. To God, Jesus is chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So just like Jesus, the living stone, is chosen and precious, he has become the cornerstone. So you, because you are being built on him, are also living stones. Now, what does it mean to be a living stone? I'm not going to go too far with this analogy because the message is going elsewhere. But when it comes to a cornerstone, if you know anything about masonry, and I know very little, but I do know that the cornerstone is the thing. It is the thing that sets the tone for the rest of the structure in terms of how balanced it is, how everything lines up, how the foundation, the rest of the foundation is laid. Everything depends on this stone. And people look at Jesus and say, well, that's no good. It's too weak, or it's just a myth, or it's just a flimsy crutch that will fail all too easily. But the Jesus, the cornerstone, they see, they're missing something. Whether they don't see the depth of Jesus, or the strength of Jesus, or the power of God at work in and through Jesus, they miss. And so they stumble over Jesus. But you are being built on him. Just as Jesus is chosen and precious, Peter says, you are chosen and precious. You are precious to God. He's giving you new life, attaching you to this living cornerstone, Jesus. And so you yourselves are living stones. And I have never seen a house moving around. Seen some other like weird photo combinations of things, but God makes you like Peter, a rock, right? That is what the name Peter means. That's a Greek form of the Hebrew word kepha, which means rock. And that's what Jesus called Peter because of his faith, because of his confession that Jesus is the Messiah. You have that same confession, that rock-solid, living stone confession within you. And that makes you that can help you rejoice in the present. There's a psalm that's translated into English and became a bit of a song and a phrase back in the day when their church banners, right, were made of felt, right? Who remembers those days? Right? The verse is, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How many of you can say that today? With joy in your heart, even with the circumstances you're facing, the joy of the Lord endures because this is the day God has made. He has brought you into this day. And because he has, you have joy. Because God is doing what he's doing, you have joy. Versus, like, I know I should have joy. I know it's a day God has made, but I am not feeling very joyful right now. Because of the battle it was to get here this morning, maybe. Or maybe something else is going on this week. Or maybe there's something coming up this week that you're dreading, or something a little bit beyond this week that you're dreading. Maybe it's a hard conversation. Maybe it's a harsh reality you're coming to face. Faith tells us that what God tells you now is true. That you are chosen, selected specifically by God. You have his Spirit living within you. There is only one way that happens. When God does that work and brings you to life daily, richly in Jesus. And so in verse 7, right? So the honor is for you who believe, but for those, and then we get to this awkward part that I was tempted to not really address, right? The awkward part of verse 7 into verse 8. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For whatever reason, there are some in this world, even though they have been presented with the gospel, they refuse to believe or follow the truth about Jesus. And so Jesus remains a stumbling block to them. Maybe this might be a better analogy. Like, we're all brought to the cross of Jesus, right? All of us, because we are all sinners. And some of us never get beyond that. Some people just remain stuck there because the cross is offensive, because God dying on the cross is offensive and illogical. And people can't get past it. And that there's nothing I can contribute to my own salvation? That seems ridiculous. And so Jesus is a stumbling block for people in this world, in this life, and they cannot move past it. But for you, you who are chosen and precious, you who are a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession. He has taken you, he has brought you to the cross, and he's taken you beyond it, to the empty tomb where God took all of your sin, all of your past, all your present struggles, all your anxiety and worry about the future. He brought that all into his grave, and he comes out with new life for you daily. Once you did not have mercy, but now, presently, in this moment, you have mercy. God is making himself known through Jesus, and some will not move past that truth. Which is also then harder to believe God's promise when it comes to the future. That God is promising you now, just like he promised these five churches in the past, that he knows the future. He holds the future. God is going to handle the future. Only he knows it. And he hasn't revealed the future to anyone else except some glimpses like Jesus returning and us living in a new creation where God makes everything new, better than it ever was. But other than that, there's not much else we know about the future. But he does know it, and it is literally in his hands. So, this hope that God has given you today, hold on to the hope that is holding you. Hold on to this hope that is holding you. Verses 9 through 12. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his, that is God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, out of your past, into God's life for you now, out of your sin and into a new life, a hope and a future, one that is alive because we don't believe in someone who is dead and gone. We believe in Jesus who is resurrected. He is a living God. He is a real God. He is the only one that is real. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. And he's saying this to Gentiles, right? He's saying this to people in Asia Minor, we know as Turkey. He's saying, once you were not a people. Now, I'm not quite sure what Peter means by that, because people in those areas, they're from those cities. They've got histories, they've got families. Why would Peter say that they were not a people? Because they weren't a people loved by God. They were outside of the family of God once, at one time. Just like everyone else that's stuck at the foot of the cross, that refuses to go and go on to become part of God's family as he's graciously inviting them. So once they were not a people, once you were not a people, maybe you've had that experience in your life where you know what it's like to be disowned or on the outside, to be an outcast, to be other. Maybe you know what it's like now to be in the family of God. Because once you were not a people, now you are God's precious chosen people. Once you did not receive mercy, but now, in this present time and forever, you have received mercy. Rest of the section here. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Referring back to verse 1, right, that we covered earlier. So abstain, turn, just don't even go into, avoid all of that, which wage war against your soul. How does it wage war against your soul? Because it's within you, right? This temptation, this malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, along with all the other kinds of sin, all that's within is waging war against your soul. Part of your own self wants nothing more than for you to turn away from God, to not believe God's promise, forgiveness, mercy, to not believe that you are chosen and precious. Sometimes it's easier to believe those things. But Peter is saying, he's urging you to turn from all of that. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Now, I don't know, well, several things. One, I don't know if you are familiar with the rapper Ice-T. I also don't know if you're familiar with where he is at in his faith. I am not. I don't actually know. I do know he started a podcast on February 13th called Ice-T's Daily Game. And it is like there's about as many podcast ads in this as is his actual content. But it's only like maybe 7 minutes, maybe. And in that he drops a quote and he unpacks a little bit of how that's worked in his life. I will warn you, there's explicit things in there. Even in 7 minutes, Ice-T finds a way. But he also, one of his first episodes, the quote is this: your character will outweigh any lie told about you. Those who know you, know you. Your character will outweigh any lie told about you. Those who know you, know you. And his point is this: if somebody was telling him, there's a tabloid that was saying, and you're going to put this article out about this beef between you and I think his name is Chris Maloney. And Ice-T sends this on to this guy he's supposed to be having a feud with. And he's like, oh, we're having a feud? That's nice to know. Thanks for telling me. Right? Meaning that just because somebody makes something up about you doesn't mean it's true. And those people who really know Bob or Patrick or Matthias or Natalie or insert your name here, those who really know you will hear this stuff being said about you. They're like, I'm going to need some more information, because that doesn't sound like my friend. Those who know you, know you. And that, I see, is a great correlation to Peter's words here. right? Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, your character, right? So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Ice-T may not be a believer, may not be a preacher, but there is some wisdom that God has made known to him that works, right? As we live today, live in such a way that even when people make up false things about you, it doesn't stick, right? And all the more, that if you are someone who is still struggling with your past, that you're still worried about this present moment and it's hard to let go of your expectations to be fully present. And when it comes to the future, there's so much anxiety about it, you don't even know where to start. Jesus knows your past. He's with you in the present. And he is holding you as well as the future. So, in this hope that God has given you today on this path to maturity, hold on to the hope that is holding you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a minute to pray to God about that, shall we? Jesus, you know our past. You're with us now. You hold our future, and you hold on to us all the way through the future. Lord, that's good news for us when we're worried about those that we've lost, and we trust your promises. Lord, we want to trust your promises that they are with you. Help us to believe that. Help us to believe they are with you and to receive comfort, even joy, from that. When it comes to our past, our struggles in the present and the future, Lord, help us to believe your words that we are chosen, that we are sojourning, that we are on a temporary journey. Lord, it's one that you have already walked and one you have sent your Spirit to walk with us. So we're not alone. We're chosen, we're precious, we're royal, we're holy. We are your people that you selected, that you have brought out of darkness into marvelous light. God, let that give us the confidence to live by faith today, to love one another well, and even to love our enemies well, so that no matter what is said or what is done, Lord, your name is on our lips, your word is in our heart, and your love comes out through our mouth and through our hands. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.